Ladies and gentlemen, can you see the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, where we are?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Now, Chevra, first of all, I want to dedicate tonight's shiur in honor of Marjorie Munsterberg. Marjorie is actually the reason why the Gemara shiur is continuing with the Washington Heights congregation. I gave this Gemara shiur in my youth, when I was the rabbi at Mount Sinai Jewish Center, like way back when in ancient history. And when I left Mount Sinai, so I commented, I believe, to Charlie that one of the things I'd really miss is the Gemara shiur. And apparently, Baruch Shekivanti, and Marjorie, who has been a member of the Gemara Shiur for quite some time, I think it's like probably 6 years or so, Marjorie said, okay, the shiur is going to be taken over by the Washington Heights congregation. So I just want to dedicate tonight's shiur to thank Marjorie for having this shiur continue and to wish Marjorie and Charlie a lot of hatzlacha as they move on to their new place in Teaneck. We're not going to be having any more shiurim between now and the time when Marjorie and Charlie move out of the Heights. So I felt it's appropriate to just dedicate tonight's shiur to thank Marjorie for all that she's done to make this happen. So that's my way of saying thank you. Yasha Koach. Again, and obviously, this here is a Sunday night shiur. Next Sunday night is Motzei Rosh Hashanah, and then the next Sunday night after is like Yom Kippur. So basically, we are not going to be having a Gemara shiur for some time. So I just wanted to get this in. Wanted to get this in now. Okay, Chevra. What I'd like to discuss this evening is the Gemara over here on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. If you remember, last time we learned, we spoke about the Mishnah that says if you have a vine and the vine is on top of the sukkah, so the halacha is obviously that's possible. If there's more kasher schach on the vine, it could be bottle. It could be that it will become a kasher based on the rules of bittul. But if you don't have more kasher schach, so it's going to be possible. The question, though, that the Gemara addressed is what happens if you just walk over with your plant shears and you go and you chop the vine. And now it's no longer attached. Does that make the sukkah kosher right away? And this issue is raised in the Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, going over to Yud Aleph on the base. And like almost everything in Yiddishkeit, it's a machlokes as to whether it's kosher. Rav is of the opinion that kitzitzasan zuhi. Rav is of the opinion that kitzitzasan Zuhi Psikasan, that basically according to Rav, the cutting of the branch down, the cutting of the bach down itself, one second. According to Rav, just cutting it down itself is enough to make it kosher. That's what the Gemara says. This is Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Does cutting it down itself make it kosher, or do you have to be mina'aneya? You also have to shake the schach around in order to make it kosher. And that's a machlokes that the That's a machlokas that the Gemara developed. Okay, so here we are on Yud Aleph on the base. And can you still see the Gemara screen or did we lose it? We lost it?
We lost it.
We lost it. Okay, so we're going to try to do this once more with feeling. Okay. You have the Gemara screen now?
Not yet.
No. Okay, let's try this once more. Now?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, let us go weiter. So the Gemara has Machlokes Rav and Shmuel about if I chop the, if I take my shears and I cut the vine down, does that automatically make the schach kosher? That's what Rav would say. Rav would say, Ketzisason zuhi asiyason. If you cut the vine down, that's making the sukkah. It's no longer a problem of ta'asevelom and ha'asoy. But Shmuel says, no, that's not enough. Shmuel says what you have to do is you have to like move the schach around a little bit. You have to be mina'aneya. And last time we spoke about Rashi's position that you only have to be mina'aneya the schach, which was previously attached to the ground, and the Me'iri's opinion that you have to move all of the schach. That was last week's conversation. Last week, we also noted that the Gemara compares cutting the vine down to the case of if somebody is very dexterous and really knows how to tie tzitzis well and puts a string through that tzitzis hole four times. So then if you would cut it, it would be eight strings. Is that going to be kosher or not? And that ends up being a machlokas also between Rav and Shmuel, whether that is going to be kosher. The same question. Do I assume that pesikasan zuhi hechsheiran? That just cutting the tzitzis off, just severing those strings in order to make it into eight strings, that would be enough to kosher the tzitzis? Or do you say, no, you have to do more? The question, the way we explained it last time, is what is the halacha of asiyah? When we say that you have to make something, do you have to be physically involved in the main something to make something? Okay, it's amazing how I task you something in the same sentence. But if I'm making schach, I'm making a sukkah, do I have to be physically involved that I'm taking those branches, I'm moving them? Or is it enough if I cut the area of attachment between those branches and the ground? When I make the tzitzis, do I have to be involved in the tying of the strings? Or is it enough if I just cut it, right? That's the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Let's just read in the Gemara. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We'll begin from 7 lines on the top. It says, Ika da Amri. Ika da Amri. Amr Rav Masna. B'didi heva uvda v'asoy l'kamei d'mar Shmuel. V'amar li p'sulim l'olam. Right? Rav Masna basically says that I pulled this trick. I tied my tzitzis in a way that was like one string through and all you had to do was cut it off. And it went to Shmuel, and Shmuel says it's puzzle forever because we do not say psikason zuhi hechsheran. That's not called making tzitzis. Mesave. We have a question. Tila'an v'achak ha'posak roshe chutin shalahen psulin. Right? It says that if I first hang my tzitzis and then I cut the ends of those strings, so the halacha is that it's pasul. The old Tanya Gavi Sukkah. We also have a brisa by Sukkah. Ta'ase v'lo min ha'asui. The halacha is, the Torah writes, Chai kasukos ta'ase l'cha, that you have to make the sukkah. And that tells me, ta'ase v'lo min ha'asui, it can't be that the sukkah is ready-made. Mikan amru, hitla oleha es ha'gefen, Vesadala'as, Vesakisum, Vesike Chagabon, Psula. Right? The source of our Mishnah, that if I take a vine or a gourd or, I don't know, some grapevine and I put it on the sukkah and I put the schach on top of it, it's pasul. And the reason why it's pasul is because of Ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui, that you have to make it yourself. So Yigma asks, hey, Chagami, what's the case? If the case is that the vine is still attached to the ground, the vine was never cut down, and that's why it is pasul. So my iri yavisham ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. Teipuklei dimechubarin ninhu.
The Gemara says, if the case is that you never cut that vine off of the ground, so how come we are saying that it's pasul because of ta'asev lo min ha'asui? How come we're saying because you're not making it? We have a better reason why it's pasul. The better reason why it's pasul is because it is mechubar. It's mechubarin in hu. It still is attached. Ella, it's got to be bishakatsitsan. Uketani psula. Right? Obviously, the case is that's not still attached. If it would be still attached, the reason why it would be pasul is because it's attached. And schach has to be detached, right? We noted from Rashi, the reason why schach has to be detached is because the Torah says, ba'aspecha migarnecha miyikvecha, that you have to gather the stuff from the ground. If that's the case, so if it's already detached, and it still is pasul, why is it pasul? Oh, because of ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. It's pasul because you have to make it. Zok the Gemara, shma mina, delo aminan ketzitzasan, zu hi asiyasan, viti yufta de Rav. The Gemara says, this is my raya against Rav, because what do I see? I see that if you cut the schach down, it's still pasul. It still is a din of ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. It still is going to be pasul. But according to Rav, it should be kasher. Because Rav says, ketzitzasan zuhi, or pisikasan in the case of tzitzis, zuhi asiyasan. That's the way you make it. You make it by just, what's it called? You make it by just cutting it down. So zok the Gemara, I see from here that Rav is wrong. Shema mina delo amin ketzitzasan zuhi asiyasan v'ti yufta de Rav. Right, I don't know how to say this in English. We schlugged up Rav, no? How do you say tiyufta? Like, yeah, knock him out. Right, tiyufta the Rav, that's a Gemara's question. So the answer is no. Rav's going to say, this is not a knockout blow. Amalach Rav, achab mayeskinon, deshalfinu shlufi, delo minkara asiya didhu. The case over here is that the schach is not completely severed. Shalfinhu shlufi. We'll talk in 2 minutes exactly what this means. But basically it means the schach is not completely severed. And the way the Gemara says it, therefore it's lo minkara asiya ditu. It's not noticeable that you made the sukkah. There's a halacha of ta'asav lo min ha'asui. The halacha is that you have to make the sukkah. But not only that, you get the impression there's a din d'rabbanan that everybody has to know that you made the sukkah. So if it's shalfinu shlufi, right? If it is that the vine is still somewhat attached, it's not completely detached. So in that case, it would be, right, a problem midrabonon, and that's what the Gemara says. The lo minkira asiya ditu. Zok the Gemara mikom bakoim. Tla'an v'achaka pasak kasha l'rav, kasha. Right? The Gemara says, but one second. We said tla'an v'achaka pasak is pasul. Right? That's the case by tzitzis. At first you string it through and then you cut it. So the same braisa, right? The first line in the braisa is about tzitzis. Tla'an v'achaka pasak is pasul. That line is about tzitzis. Then we have a halacha about sukkah. Rav deflects the proof from sukkah because Rav is going to say the case is that it's not completely detached. The case by sukkah is shalfinu shlufi. It's still somewhat attached. But nonetheless, the other case, the case of cutting the tzitzis strings, where we say that it's mamish pasul, that's a kasha on Rav. Because according to Rav, it would be kasher. Since Rav holds that you don't have to act on the chafza alone, just cutting it off would suffice, so it should be kasher. Yet we see that it is a problem. So zok the Gemara, kasher. The Gemara says it's really difficult. Okay, so that's Joe. I think Ilan, is that a hand up?
Yeah. The opinion of Kolon Bachakach Pasak is Shmuel. who Rav argues with. So why is that a, I mean, how is that a kasha on Rav? Am I
Again,
missing something here?
Rav says that Tla'an Vacharkach Pasak is going to be kosher, according to Rav. But we see in this Kasha, right? Tla'an Vacharkach Pasak Rashi Chutin is puzzle.
Where do you see it in this Braita? I'm sorry, where do they...
You see where it says Tasev v'lo min ha'asui? There's like a star over there.
Right.
So two lines on top of that. Meisvei. Tla'an v'chaka pasak. Psulin. The old Tanya gabi suka.
That's quoting me and the Braita over there. Okay, that's not the previous part. Okay.
So what we see over here is that there is one Braita, both about tzitzis and suka. So Rav is able to deflect the proof from Sukkah by saying that, oh, the case by Sukkah is not a problem because that is shalfinu shlufi, right? It's not completely detached somehow. But the case by Tzitzis remains difficult for Rav. That's what the Gemara says. And the Gemara concludes, Kasha, it's really difficult for Rav. Let's look at Rashi. Shalfuni shlufi, right? I always thought this is like when you tell, like it sounds very similar when you tell a little kid to go to shluf, no? Shalfuni shlufi, right? That's what the Gemara says. So Rashi writes, Pashchan min ha'ilan ad shenitkan, you pull it off the tree until it's uprooted. When we talk she'ing tzitzasan, nikeres kol kach, she'shochvin rashim shlichasan eitzel ha'ilan lo hevasiya ma'alya. So Rashi is saying it's a din d'rabbanan. The din d'rabbanan is that it's not noticeable. It's not completely pulled off. The Rush has a similar explanation. The Rush's explanation is that you detach it by just pulling it up from the roots. And therefore, to the onlooker, it still looks like it's attached. Now, the vine looks exactly the way it did before. The only thing is that you pulled the roots out of the ground. So instead of having the roots in the ground, embedded in the ground, the roots are now somewhat off the ground, so it's detached, but it looks attached. And that's what the Gemara means when the Gemara says that it's lo minkara asiya ditu. It's not noticeable that you did it. But that's the Gemara according to Rashi. Tosfos is bothered by the kasha. Look at the Tosfos to shalfinu shlufi. Tosfos says, ktsas kasha. Frek Tosis, what are you telling me? That the reason why it's a problem is because of some issue with the appearance, shalfinu shlufi, is that it doesn't look like it was fully detached. Frek Tosis, no. There's a more fundamental problem. It says in the Braisa, tasa v'lo min ha'asui, that you didn't make it. So Tosis answers, v'yesh lomar asmachta ba'almahi. Tosfos says it's just an asmachta. Really, it's not a din of ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. That would be a din d'oraisa. This is stamazoi. It's just an ordinary din d'rabbanon. Now, the Maharsha comments that it's clear that Tosfos does not have the same text that we have in our Gemara. Because our Gemara has the text, d'lo minkara asiya d'tu. The text in our Gemara is exactly the way we explain the Gemara, according to Rashi. It's not noticeable. Tosfos asks the Gasha, what do you mean? It says Tasav Lomino Osoi. Right? Tosfos' whole Kasha is predicated on the fact that he does not have the text of the Gemara the way we have it. Therefore, Tosfos is bothered by a Kasha, but he ends up saying exactly the same thing that Rashi. That's his explanation of Tosfos. Inami. Second explanation of Tosfos. Hacha mayri kishen nifshach ume'ura beklipa ve'en yachol ha'cha yotla. Right? Tosfos is saying that the case over here is that you pull the vine to such an extent. Marjorie probably understands this a million times better than I do because Marjorie's like very into gardening. So the situation over here is like this. You pull the vine. The vine is still physically attached, but it is no longer able to live from the nutrients that come in the ground. physically speaking, it's attached, but it's nifshach u'me'ura beklipa. It's attached with like a tiny little shell, and in yachola hachayotla, and it can't survive anymore. Like the Gemara says in Ha'arva Harotev in Perek in Meseches Chulin, the afagav the choshev ketolosh mikol makom came lo nixatz gamrei lo aminon zuhi asiya. The Gemara says it's considered tolosh, it's considered detached, but it's not like an asiya. It's not like you made it. The Gemara over there in Perek Ha'arva Harotev is discussing situations when something is physically attached, but halachically it might be detached. There's a halacha, for example, that things which are attached to the ground can't become tamei. That's a halacha. Right? If you want to make the apples on your tree tamei, you can't do it because it's attached to the ground. But sometimes there are situations that something is physically attached, but the halacha views it like it's detached. And in those situations, the Gemara Ha'arva Ha'Raitav says there is going to be tum'ah because as a matter of halacha, it's detached. But nonetheless, in our Gemara, we're saying it's not cool that you made a sukkah. In order to make a sukkah, you have to physically detach it. It's not enough to halachically detach it. That's the issue that Tosis raises. It's funny, that Gemara in Chulin is actually one of the major sources of the brain death controversy. There in that Gemara, there's a discussion about Eli HaKohen, right? The Pasuk says that Eli HaKohen, his sons died. Somehow that doesn't really trouble him. When he hears that Lakach Aron HaElokim, right, when he hears that the Aron was taken in the in battle with the Plishtim, he like falls off of his chair. And Chazal Darshan, that the idea with Eli HaKoyen was that his brain was no longer, his brain apparently was no longer considered halachically attached to his body. It's like the spinal cord, the brain, it's still attached physically, but there was enough of a severing of it that it wasn't attached in a halachic way, and that is how he died. I think Rabbi Tendler uses the expression that there is physiological decapitation as opposed to physical decapitation. No? Is that the term that he uses? Basically, sometimes you could have something which is physically attached, but as a matter of halacha, it is not attached. Again, it's entirely possible that the Gemara is not relevant for our standard cases of brain death. Our standard cases of brain death might be somewhat different. It might be that there is still some sort of blood flow. Exactly how we define brain death with the Harvard criteria and the halachic ramifications of the Harvard criteria is not something I want to go into, but I'm just bringing this idea out that Gemara of something which is attached in a physical way, but still the halacha might consider it detached, is said in terms of Kabbalah's Tumah over there, and it's also relevant there in terms of the Misa of Eli HaKoyen. That's what emerges. So let's just go back to what we're up to. Shalfinhu shlufi, right? The Gemara says that this case, when they cut the vine down, according to Rav, frak the Gemara, it should become kasher because ketzitzasan zuhi asiyasan, cutting the vine down should be asiyas hasukkah. It should not be a problem of tasav lomen ha'asui. So the Gemara answers, no. We're talking about the case of Shalfinu Shlufi. It wasn't which, according to Rashi, and the first explanation of Taisus means it's not noticeably detached. According to the second explanation of Taisus, the idea is that physically it is still attached, but it is detached enough that it is no longer getting its sustenance, getting its life from the ground, even though physically it still is attached. Questions, comments? Okay, here we go on. I vote yes, and you can't outvote me, so let's go on. Right? It's amazing. This is like the power I have as I host this meeting. Okay, Zuck the Gemara. The Gemara says, Lema Ketanoi. You see there's a Tosis L'kicha L'kicha. So pretty much directly across in that Tosis, one line on top of it, Lema Ketanoi. The Gemara is saying that this issue as to whether Asiya has to be a direct action on the object of the mitzvah, does it have to be a direct action on the schach, or is cutting the schach down also considered Asiya? Right? Is Asiya accomplished by just cutting the strings of the tzitzis, etc.? We said it's a machlaikis, Rav and Shmuel, Zuck the Gemara, Lema Ketanoi. Let's say this is a machlokas hatanoim. There are four minim on Sukkos. We're actually getting pretty close. So there are four things that we take. Lulav, Esrig, Hadassim, and Aravos. By the Hadassim, there is a din. Sometimes Hadassim have little berries on them, no? Sometimes there are little like reddish berries that grow on myrtle branches. As a matter of halacha, if there are more berries than there are leaves, so that is a pasal hadas. It's a pasal hadas. The Gemara says, Rashi over here quotes it, it's mechzi kemenumar. It looks like all spotted. It doesn't look like a pure hadas. It's supposed to just be a green branch. It looks like all spotted and speckled. So therefore, it's not a kasher hadas. So that's one halacha. There's another halacha that on Shabbos, there are 39 malachas I'm not allowed to do. And one of those malachos is called tikkun mona, or makke b'patish, I should say. One of the 39 malachas is putting that last hammer blow to finish the utensil that you're making. Makke b'patish. There's a din d'rabbanon of makke b'patish called tikkun mona. Tikkun mona means whenever I make an article useful, that is a rabbinic form of makke b'patish. So now, what I have is I have a hadas, and my hadas has more berries than leaves. So this hadas is pasul. I'm not supposed to pull those berries off on Yontif, because pulling those berries off on Yontif would be tikkun mona. No? That would be repairing this hadas, making it into a kosher hadas, and that is forbidden to do on Yontif. So lema ketanoi. Now we're ready for our conversation. Avar v'likton pasul. Divi Rabbi Shimon bar Yehud Tzadok. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehud Tzadok says that let's say you pull the berries off. If you pull the berries off, it's possible. The hadas does not become kosher. The chachomim mechshirim. The chachomim say it's kosher. That's all we know. There's a machlokes. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehud Tzadok says if you pull the berries off, he says it's possible. And the Chachamim say it's kosher. Now we're going to analyze this source. And at first glance, this machlokes, whether it is kosher or pasul, is the same machlokes as the machlokes Rav and Shmuel about kitzitzasan zuhi asiyasan, about whether cutting the vine is like making the sukkah. Okay, so this takes a teeny bit of creativity, a teeny bit of a jump, but I think it will make sense. Savruha, we think. Tukuliyama lulav tsarich eged. Bialfinon lulav misukah. Dichsiv gavi sukah ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asoy. Both ribs, dekuli yama, both Rib Shimon ben Yehud Sadak and the Chachamim say lulav tzarech eged. Lulav tzarech eged is a halacha that you have to bind the lulav. You have to tie it up. And that is the halachic definition of making a lulav. Making a lulav means that you take the three species, the lulav, the aravos, the hadasim, and you tie them together. Lulav tzarech eged. We are following the opinion. We'll see later on that this is a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. It's a machlokes hatanoim about whether a lulav needs to be binded together. We, Savruha, we think that both Rav Shimon ben Yehud Tzadik and the Chachamim hold that a lulav has to be binded together. So what's the machlokes? Right? How come Rav Shimon ben Yehud Tzadik says it's pasul, the Chachamim say it's kosher, in the case when you pull off the berries? So the Gemara says, everyone holds that you require asiyah. If lulav tzarech eged, so everybody is also saying, Yalfinan lulav misukkah. Just like by sukkah, the Torah says, Chag HaSukkos ta'aseh lecha, you have to make it, and there's a din of ta'aseh, v'lo min ha'asui. Also by lulav, there's a din that you have to make it. You have to make that eged. You have to bind that lulav together. And it can't be lo min ha'asui. It can't be that it happened on its own. Now, if that's the case, myla b'hakamiflegi demand machshir savar amina gabi suka tzitzasan zuhasiyasan v'gabi lulav nami aminan l'kitasan zuhiasiyasan uman de pasul savar lo amina gabi suka tzitzasan zuhasiyasan v'gabi lulav nami lo aminan l'kitasan zuhiasiyasan. Says the Gemara, we are assuming that lulav and sukkah are exactly the same. And just like you have to make a sukkah, you have to make a lulav. So what's the machlokes? How come Rav Shimon ben Yehud Tzadik says it's not kosher? Because Rav Shimon ben Yehud Tzadik says it's pasul, because what am I doing? I am not actively making that lulav. To actively make a lulav, I need a kosher hadas, which I attach to the lulav and the aravos. But I don't do that. I attach that hadas when it is a pasul hadas. I attach that hadas when there are more berries than leaves. And then I'm plucking those berries off. I'm pulling those berries off. Oh, okay. Well, if that's all you're doing, you're pulling the berries off. So that is the equivalent of just cutting the vine down, or the equivalent of just cutting the tzitzit strings. It's not a direct action. It is removing a psul. Is removing a psul considered ta'aseh? Is that considered that you are making it? So that's a machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel. And zok the Gemara now, that's exactly machlokes, Rav Shimon ben Yehud Tzadik and the Chachamim. Removing the psul, removing those extra berries, is that going to be machshir the lulav? That's the kasha. Or excuse me, that's what the Gemara is assuming, that the machlokes by lulav is the same as the machlokes by sukkah. Not bad, no? Right, again, there's a few assumptions that we're making. Assumption number one, that lulav has to be binded together. Assumption number two, that therefore there's a halacha by lulav of ta'aseh. Ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui, that you have to make it yourself. If that's the case, so it's beautiful. Kaftar v'ferach. The machlokes Rav Shimon ben Yehud Tzadik and the Chachamim is the machlokes about whether removing a psul is considered an asiyah. If you remove the berries, is that the same as you are making them. So the Gemara deflects this. Lo, de kuliyama. Where are we? You see there's a tosis vigidulo men ha'aretz. So lo is basically one line beneath that tosis. Across in that tosis, one line beneath. Lo, de kuliyama lo amrinan gabi sukkah kitzitzasan zuhiyasiyasan. V'hacha b'melaf sukkah b'melaf lulav misukkah kemifligi. Madamachra savar lo yalfinan lula misuka, umanda puzzle savar yalfinan lula misuka. Zot the Gemara, no. Maybe the dispute about picking the berries off of the hadas, the dispute is whether there's a halacha of asiya by a lulav. By sukkah, the Torah says, chag asukos ta'as halacha, daf min machin asike. You have to make it yourself. You have to build it. Ta'aseh v'lo min asui. The question is, do I assume that yalfin a lulav misuka? Is there a halacha that you have to make a lulav also? So that's the machlokes. Rishon ben Yotzadak says it's pasul. He goes, you have to make the lulav. But the chachamim, they say it's kosher. Because they hold that you don't have to make the lulav. The ibayis ema. The other explanation is isviru on the lulav sarf eged kuliyam lo pliga the yafin on lulav misuka. V'chabal kamufin gimar sabar sarf eged umar sabar ein sarf eged. That the Gemara has a different explanation. The Gemara says no. Maybe machlekes Rishon ben Yotzadak and the Chachamim is whether lulav sarf eged. Do you have to tie the lulav together or not? You have lulav, hadasim, and aravos. Do they have to be binded together? Or do we assume that lulav ain't sarif eged? Rishon ben Yotzadak says it's possible. Because Rishon ben Yotzadak holds that lulav sarif eged. And therefore, you have to make the lulav. And therefore, in this case, when I, pardon me, when I tie the hadasim up with the lulav, it was puzzle. So that's not that I made it. That's a problem of tasev lomina asui. The chachamim say it's kosher, because the chachamim hold lulav does not require eged. And now we analyze this question as to whether lulav needs eged. Do you have to bind the lulav together? Ditanya, this is two lines before the lines get wide. Lulav. Bein agud, bein she'eno agud kasher. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, agud kasher, she'eno agud pasul. Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda l'chachon. Rabbi Yehuda says a lulav is only kasher if it is agud. If it is bound, binded. Right? I think the correct term would be binded in English. Correct? Not bound? Whatever. I'll leave this for the grammarians. But a lulav, according to Rabbi Yehuda, has to have eged. The Chachamim say no. The lulav is going to be kosher even if it's not bound or binded together. My time with Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara first white line asks, what's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda that has to be bound together? Yalef lekicha lekicha me agudas ezov. But the Torah by Makas Bechoros says that they are supposed to put blood on the doorpost so that whatever this means, the Malach HaMavis will know which are the Jewish homes. No? The Malach HaMavis won't go into those homes. In order to do that, you take Agudas Ezov, you take a bunch, and Aguda is a bunch of hyssop, and you put the blood on the doorpost. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Yalef lekicha lekicha me'agudas ezov. The Torah uses the expression k'sif hasam ulekachtem agudas ezov. U'k'sif hacha ulekachtem lachem b'yom ha'rishon. Malahalam ba'aguda afkan nami ba'aguda. Rabbi Yehuda says, I learned a gezeira shava. Lekicha lekicha. The Torah uses the same expression ulekachtem lachem. You should take the lulav. The Torah uses that same word, ulekachtem, that you should take the hyssop. L'kachtem agudas ezov. Zucked the Gemara, just like by agudas ezov. It has to be agudas ezov. It has to be bound together somehow. So here also, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it says ulekachtem, and that means that the lulav has to be bound together. The Rabbanan, right? Sounds good. Rabbi Yehuda learns lekicha, lekicha. How can the Rabbanan disagree? Zuck the Gemara, Rabbanan lekicha, milekicha, lo yalfinan. The Chachamim say, we do not learn lekicha, lekicha. Gezeira Shavas, the fact that it says this word in this area of halacha, and that word in that area of halacha. So therefore, these two areas of halacha share common halachos. Gezeira Shavas, right here, ulekachtem, ulekachtem, lekicha, lekicha. It says by makas b'choros lekicha, there it has to be binded, bound. Here also by the lulav, it has to be bound together. That's what Yehuda says. He makes a gezeira shava. The Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say, no. Lekicha lekicha lo yafinon. The halacha is that you're not allowed to make a gezeira shava on your own. The gezeira shava is one of the midos shatara nidreshes bahen. It's one of those hermeneutic principles that we say in the morning in davening. Or I should say the only time of year when we actually say it in the morning in davening is this time of year because we're there on time because we were there for, say, slichas beforehand. But most of the year we tend to miss on the price of Rabbi Yishmael because it's like right at the beginning of davening. Whatever, that's my editorial comment. But Gezeira Shava is not something that you can do on your own. You can only make a Gezeira Shava if you learned it from your Rebbe. There's a machlokes. Right? Do I have a tradition of lekicha lekicha, or I don't have a tradition of lekicha lekicha? Tosis over here points out that everybody has a tradition of kicha kicha. Right? Well, the way I know that kiddushin, that I could get married with kesef, with giving an object of value, right? That idea is learned kicha kicha m'stei Ephraim. Everyone holds up kicha kicha. But some hold of likicha likicha. Others don't hold of likicha likicha. Right, with the lamed, that's the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Beautiful. Zok the Gemara, fourth wide line. Keman azwa hadatanya. Who does this brisa go like? The brisa says lulav mitzvah laogdo, then lo ogdo kasher. There's a mitzvah to bind your lulav, and if you don't bind it, it's still kosher. Who does that go like? E Rabbi Yehuda, kilo agdo on my kosher. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if I don't bind my lulav, it's mamish pasul. Right, according to Rabbi Yehuda, right, if I don't bind it, how come it's kosher? E Rabbanon on my mitzvah. It was according to the Chachamim, they deny the category, the concept of eged at all. They say, we don't hold of that gudda. Right, we don't bind it at all, according to the Chachamim. So why are you saying that there is a mitzvah to bind it? Zok the Gemara, la'olam rabbanon hi, u'mishum shenema zakeli va'anveyu hisna elofanav b'mitzvos. It goes according to the Rabbanon, but the reason why they bind it is because of a din of hider mitzvah. Hider mitzvah. Zakeli va'anveyu. I'm supposed to make mitzvos nice. Don't just write a Sefer Torah, right? You hire the rabbi of your shul to write a beautiful Sefer Torah for you. Hider mitzvah, right? Don't just have an old ratty talis, right? You should have a beautiful one. Hider mitzvah. Do mitzvahs in a beautiful way. The Chachamim say that you don't have to bind your lulav together. They deny this concept of eged. You don't have to bind it. But, there's a mitzvah to do it because it's called hider mitzvah. When you bind it together, it looks nicer. It looks more beautiful. That's what the Gemara says. So there's a halacha of eged lulav. According to Rabbi Yehuda, your lulav is pasul if you don't bind it. According to the Chachamim, you try to bind it in order to make it look nice. Now, let's just talk for 5 minutes, or maybe a couple more minutes than five. Don't hold me to the number five here. But what does it mean that there is eged? What does it mean that you bind the lulav together? So I think most of you are thinking that binding it together means what we do, no? That you have the lulav, the hadasim, and the aravos, and they're all held together by this lulav thing. It's like a Yiddish term, a keshikol or something, that there's probably no word in English for that lulav holder that you put the hadasim and the aravos in. And my guess is that you probably cannot buy them on the market Pesach time. It's like a special thing you can only get Sukkot time. That's the chumra binding it together means. Binding it together means that it has to be somehow attached. Not only does it have to be attached, but the shita of Rashi is that you have to attach it in a special way. You have to attach it with the type of knot that you would be chayiv if you would tie it on Shabbos. It has to be a kesher shel kayama, the kesher gabi kesher. That's Rashi shita. You have to tie it up with a knot. The Torah says you don't have to tie it up with a knot if you just wrap it around and around. That's enough. Now, these are the two major shittos, how you do eged. These shittos seem to be the shittos within Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that the eged is an absolute requirement. This is machlekes, you have to tie a double knot, or just wrapping it around is enough. There's an interesting ritva, though. The ritva says, whoa, let's go slowly, the ritva says. Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the lulav has to have eged, Rabbi Yehuda learns that idea from Agudas Ezov, which is at Yetzias Mitzrayim, they would paint the doorposts with blood using a bunch of hyssop. There's another area of halacha, however, where we use Agudas Ezov. You have probably never done this, nor have I ever done this. This is an area of halacha that we don't do anymore, called para aduma. Part of the para aduma process, right, is that you take agudas ezov. Now, the funny thing is, says the Ritva, that over there by the para aduma, the Mishnayos say that you don't have to tie it together. So the Ritva asks, one second, if you hold, you really need aguda, it has to be bound together, it has to be tied together, but by para aduma, it's not tied together. So this leads the Ritva to say that, dudes, you completely misunderstood. When I speak about tsarech eged, it doesn't mean that you bind it together and you tie it together. Eged means you have to hold all three species.
I ordered a Renov sitter.
Yeah.
And they said, you want to add a dollar? And I said, sure.
Oh.
So it's part.
I think eged means that you just, I think eged means, according to the Ritva, that what you're doing is you are holding the three species together in your hand. They're not bound together. You're holding it together. What that would mean is that according to the Chachamim, you don't need eged. So that means I can fulfill my mitzvah of lulav. And actually the Rambam paskins this way, interestingly. I could fulfill my mitzvah of lulav by I have four things on the table in front of me. Lulav, esrik, hadasim, and aravos. Pick one up, pick the other one up, pick the third one up. No? I always wanted to do this, like show my kids, like to teach them this halacha, that they would, sometimes if you do weird stuff, you know, you can actually learn something. So I wanted to try this stunt. Maybe, right, or you're Yotze, according to the Rambam. The Rambam says, and it makes perfect sense, that tzarech eged is only necessary according to the Reb Yehuda. But according to the Chachamim, you don't have to bind it. That means, according to the Chachamim, I'm Yotzei if I pick one up at a time. But the Rambam has a Chiddush. I'm only Yotzei if I pick one up at a time, providing I own all four of them at the moment I pick each one up. If I pick up a lulav, and then I go to the store and I buy hadasim, and I pick up those hadasim, not Yotzei. That's the Rambam. The Ramban says you are Yotzei. That would mean, by the way, that according to the Rambam, when I say there's a mitzvah to hold it together, the mitzvah to hold it together means that you should hold it together. Like, don't just pick one, hold them together. That is Sarech Eger. And Mamish takes the excitement out. However, the second opinion in the Ritva, which I think is the mainstream opinion in Judaism, is that when the Chachamim say you should do Eged, what the Chachamim mean is that there's a mitzvah to do what Rabbi Yehuda says you should do. That means that there's a mitzvah to tie your lulav together with the hadasim and aravis. To do that asiyah, which Rashi says means you tie a kesher agabe kesher, you tie a double knot. There's a mitzvah to do this. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to do it if you want to be Yotzei Lulav, you have to tie it up. According to the Chachamim, no, you don't have to tie it, but there's a mitzvah to tie it. It could be that everybody holds, you're only Yotzei if you pick up all three together. The question is, do you have to tie them together or not? Rabbi Yehuda says yes. The Chachamim say no, it's a mitzvah to tie it together, but you don't have to. What this would mean, again, so according to the Chachamim, I should try to tie a double knot on my lulav to have an asiyah. Based on this, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rav Soloveitchik said, you know, maybe what people do is not so simple. Because what people often do is they take that keshikol. Know that there has to be some English word for keshikol. No, someone's got to help me. But you know what I'm talking about. That, like, lulav esrig holder. That esrig. That lulav hadasim aravis holder. Most often, people put the hadasim, right? Three hadasim, it goes on the right. Two aravis, it goes on the left. Most people put the hadasim and the aravis in, then they stick the lulav in, no? Well, if you do that, it could be it's not ta'asa. The Chachamim say that l'chatchila, as a mitzvah, I should make the lulav, which means I should tie it together. In this case, I'm not really tying it together because I'm just sticking this holder on, but I'm not making the asiyah. And therefore, right? Therefore, both Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach raise an objection to what people do. It happens, the minhag, I don't know if you've ever watched Lubavitchers when they on Sukkot, but the minhag of Chabad is they don't use a keshikol, no? What they do is they tie the hadasim and aravis together to the lulav, and that's the asiyah, they're actually making it. The question is, what's our minhag based on? When we use a keshikol, right, so l'cha'orah, we're not making an asiyah. We're not attaching. We're not making the lulav connected to the hadasim and aravos. But if you have hadasim and aravos in the bag before and then you stick it in, you're not really creating the attachment. So it's entirely possible that we misunderstood. Let's go slowly. The Chachamim say mitzvah la'ogdo. There's a mitzvah to tie it up. If Yehuda says eged is a requirement, the Chachamim say no, mitzvah la'ogdo. Why? Zekeli va'anvehu, make it look nice. It could be the idea of the Chachamim is a general halachic principle of making it look nice. Hider mitzvah. It should be beautiful. And it could be that the idea is that you don't have to do what Rabbi Yehuda would say you have to do. Rabbi Yehuda would say you have to tie a knot. The Chachamim say, no, you don't have to tie a knot. Yeah, a knot might look nice, but for us, we invented this great Einfall, this great thing called the Keshikol, greatest invention that the Jewish people ever had after the matzo ball. That is the Keshikol. Best thing ever. That's what we invented. It's beautiful. That's Hiddur Mitzvah. So therefore you fulfill the mitzvah that way. It could be that the Chachamim, when they say mitzvah la'ogdo, their mitzvah la'ogdo isn't to do the same thing that Rabbi Yehuda says. The mitzvah might not be to just to tie it as a double knot. If that would be the case, so then you'd have to do what Chabad does, which some briskers do also, that you just tie it on and you don't use a keshikol. Rather, mitzvah la'ogdo, according to the Chachamim, might be a general idea of hiddur mitzvah. By the way, if it's a general idea of hiddur mitzvah, so then we also have a lot of nicer things that we could say, no? No, I've been to many Sfarim stores. I've never once in the Sfarim store saw like a golden lulav holder, no? That you put that you attach the lulav with hadassah and aravis mamish with sterling silver with gold. Yeah, you can't hold on to it. So you touch the lulav in a different place. But maybe hiddur mitzvah, it should be beautiful. Just like you have a beautiful like Hanukkah menorah. You try to do all mitzvahs in a beautiful way. I've never seen that one. It's unclear what exactly the Chachamim say when they maintain a mitzvah la'ogdo. Do you really need a kesher agabe kesher? In Rav Shechter's Sefer, the Ginas Egos, he discusses, let's say I have my lulav hadas min aravis in a keshikol, and then I tie my knot on after. I tie a halachic knot. I think the lulav makers do this thing which you would not be chayiv for if you tie it on Shabbos. It's like a slip knot, technically, no? There's like a whole art of being a lulav tier. My guess is that you don't need a BA for it, but you probably need at least an associate's degree in lulav tying. If you take basket weaving in some of the more fine universities in the country, they have a course or two in lulav tying that they offer. My understanding is that's just like a slip knot. But let's say I would not do a slip knot. Let's say I would tie a double knot on top of my keshikol. Rav Shechter in his Sefer Ginas Egos on page 5152 says maybe that's not the mitzvah of Eged. Maybe the mitzvah of Eged is tie it together to create that initial connection. If the initial connection happened beforehand, it's in the keshikol, so then when you tie it together on top, that is not the mitzvah of Eged. Eged, according to Chachamim, perhaps is the same as according to Reb Yehuda, that you have to bind it. You have to make it. There's a din of asiyah. On the other hand, our minhag of using a keshikol seems to be that we're assuming that there's no din of asiyah, but there is a din of just hiddur mitzvah in a generalized sense, not in a specific lulav sense. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. So first of all, just to repeat how we began, we're not going to have Shiur for the next few weeks. I think until after Sukkot, just the way things work out, there won't be a Gemara Shiur. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, after Sukkot will continue. And like I began also, just on a personal note, and I think on behalf of all the Shiur attendees, I just want to thank Marjorie for being the impetus to allow the Shiur to continue. And we wish you abundant Hatzlacha in Tinek. Obviously, we hope that this stupid pandemic ends, but until the pandemic ends, so God willing, we'll continue to see you at the Shiur, Marjorie, because my understanding is that Zoom works in Tinek as well as it works in Florida and Washington Heights. Okay, Chevra. So have a good night, and we'll continue Be'ezus Hashem in about a month.
Yes, Chok.
Okay, all the best. Kol tov.
Ksiva
Chasima Tova. Ksiva Chasima Tova. Gut gebenkt yor.